our state government and Transport Safety Victoria have 114,000 recreational boats, including yachts, registered full stop. So is there that many kayaks and illegal boats out there that actually support 838,000 recreational fishers? I really struggle to see how and where those figures come from and how they would stack up in the real world.
I do believe that this is Mr. Andrew is going for the for those volatile seats he needs to win this state election, to get himself across for a clear majority. That's all this. This is just smacks of that. We're not against recreational fishing. We're just against using one industry for political gain against another. So that's what we're against here.
Yeah, and I haven't read anything in your media down there that says that the Premier is stating that publicly, whereas our bloke up here, when the net-free zones were introduced, pretty much said to industry, yeah, we know where the votes are and they're not with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is really disappointing, because we did quite a bit of work in the lead-up to the election. I think we talked about it last week, Eric, around, you know, working closely with the guys from the Nature Conservancy. We worked with the guys from Ozfish Unlimited around what does the future look like? How do we do work that creates more fish for everyone? So the Gippsland Lakes has completely changed in its environmental structure and how the water composition is over the years. And so the species have moved, the composition of catches has changed. The total environmental sphere in the Gippsland Lakes is different to what it used to be. And so we've actually been calling for commitments and financial commitments towards improvement of that to create more fish for everyone. You know, we've got the local Greens candidate down there and the Liberal National Party, who are fully supportive of our pledge, where we're calling for a voluntary buyout, because, you know, we're all aware of the mental health situation in the fishing industry. There are a couple of guys who have literally had enough and want to get out. And so if we can deliver a voluntary buyout for those guys so that they can go, they can do whatever they need to do and set themselves up for the future, but we also then commit to environmental rehabilitation programs that actually then rehabilitate the Gippsland Lakes, create a better environment for fish habitat, reproduction and recruitment, and create more fish for everyone, then surely that is the better way to go than removal of one industry which actually provides science, data, evidence, etc., to make sure the stock's sustainable, make sure that everything's running smoothly. We're just going to remove that and we're going to give it to one sector and let them run with it.
I'd agree with some of that stuff, or pretty well all of you said there. Coming up with different ideas to keep people in work, like we did up here. We give up other options to reduce net length and reduce effort by 50% to 60%. Just fell on deaf ears. It just seems that they've got that tunnel vision that this is the way to go. This is going, like you said, this is going to get my mate in over there that's in a marginal seat or whatever it may be, keep their nose to the top. That's the very disappointing part about it, that they don't represent the whole of the community. Not only by that do I mean commercial fishermen, but the general public.
Yep.
That they are the ones that are really missing out. Like they say, we import 70% or 80% of our seafood. We look at the other side of the coin. Only 20% of the seafood that Australians eat is basically Australian seafood. So why is it that? Why is there such an imbalance? And we can see that through the political arena. And it seems to be, no matter what state you go to, that seems to be the flavour of the day. To crucify us, the self-preservation of political interests, and I'm afraid that will not probably, I hate to say it, will probably never ever cease to exist until we don't cease to exist, and then who's going to be the next whipping boy? I hate to be very glum and down, but that's just the way it makes you feel, and really, that's the reality that I found out about it, and, you know, in post 3 years, this thread is still over. So we've got an election coming up here, I think it's next year sometime. And there's still a possibility, even though the government have put out a reallocation policy, that the minister still has the final say on if a net-free zone can be introduced. So you can apply, anyone can apply to have one, it's his say, but Moreton Bay might be a good place to have one. A lot of people fish there. A lot of people put one in the box. That's where we'll go. So the threat is still hanging over our head, and I think, I don't know how it's ever going to stop hanging over our head, but I think one light at the end of the tunnel views people may have is the opposition saying that, I think they said that they would possibly go for voluntary buyback scheme.
Yeah, they have.
Which is what we went through up here. You didn't have to go, but if you stayed, what were you going to do? You're losing one of your main incomes through net fishing, so you can't wholly and solely rely on that crab 12 months of the year to make a living. So
yeah.
I made a business decision. I put my hand up. I sold mine out. I thought, well, I'll get out while it's worth something, because God knows what my endorsement's going to be worth in 3 or 4 years' time. So it was really a sad day for me when I popped that letter in the letterbox. I felt like reaching in and grabbing it back again, but that was my decision. So I hope your sanity does prevail somewhere and realise the fact that we don't go out and catch all the fish for ourselves. We go out and catch it for someone else. And it's distributed far and wide across this nation and overseas. That's how good it is.
And the other thing that what's failed to be recognised is, you know, they talk about this, especially in Victoria, they talk about this, oh, we're going to get a whole heap of tourism in to come and catch fish. I'm sorry, I've been to many a country on holidays where there is good fishing. I don't go out fishing. I want to go out and eat the locally caught fish in a lovely restaurant by the sea. And
prepared by local industry.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes. Prepared by local industry. When I'm on holiday, I go on a holiday.
Support that, Barbara, and I'll make this available with the podcast. There was a Tourism Australia report written, I think, in 2014 or 15 that said when most tourists come to Australia, wherever their destination is, in their top three reasons for coming here, one is to eat local food and to consume local, you know, alcohol, wine and beer and all the rest of it. And seafood is top in that list. So this idea that getting rid of us will create a new tourism haven for wreck fishers is just a nonsense. And it's just another reason that's not based on science to get rid of us. So I'd like to ask a follow-up question.
Just building on from that. You look at the announcements over the last couple of days in Sydney, where there is multiple hundreds of millions of dollars going into the redevelopment and the creation of a new Sydney fish market, because the New South Wales government recognises the dollar value and the tourism aspect of people coming in to big cities and actually wanting seafood, but wanting seafood with an experience.
Yeah.
And so you give them that experience, they will come and they will eat it, they will pay top dollar for it. And it's something that, you know, with the continual close down of these small family operated businesses that tend to provide their fish through into a market where it then gets celebrated and value added, you know, I can't understand putting one and one together and getting two, because it just doesn't work. It blows my mind that, you know, we have New South Wales where, as I said, many millions of dollars support, you know, just growth and opportunity, whereas we could be doing exactly the same here in Victoria. You guys could be looking to do something similar in Queensland, you know, around how do you create that opportunity for the tourists to come and taste everything and engage in that experience.
That's probably a different, and it's something I'd like to follow up at some point down the track when this is all over and done with. This is that discussion around our industry and that tourism experience, which is something that gets missed by politicians in every jurisdiction where you've got commercial fishing. Now, I just wanted to ask all three of you again, we've noted the impact on the consumer of these types of closures. One thing from a Victorian perspective, and this is to Barbara and Jonathan in the first instance, what do you think is going to be the impact on the harvest and post-harvest sectors if this goes through in the way that your incumbent premier wants it to go through?
Again, it takes away a point of difference out of the retailer's window. It takes away the cheaper fish out of a retailer's window, which attracts different people to come and eat fish. It's not for the post-harvest sector. It's a disappointment that we probably, some of them in here, will probably look to lay off people. And this is an exaggeration. It happened last time. It's not just about removing and finding and having to put the effort elsewhere and pushing the effort elsewhere. It's about it will cost industry. The onflow will cost industry, and it does. And they never want to admit and recognise this. In a sense, it's death by cuts, slow cuts of that. I say to them, well, if you're going to, and I don't say this is something that I want. If you're going to, we want the fish. But if you're going to pay out fishermen, pay out the rest of the industry as well.
Yep.
So just building on from that, we look at over the last 11 years, the average catch in the Gippsland Lakes has been somewhere between 220 and 360-odd tonnes. You know, fishing, as we all know, is it's a boom and bust industry. A drought on the land is a drought in the sea. When you're fishing in these lake systems or estuarine systems, good river flow creates more fish availability. So, you know, the fact that we're in one of the longest droughts that we've ever been in the Gippsland region, things down there are pretty tough at the moment, yes. But as I said before, in terms of for the consumer, you know, there's a hell of a lot of lesser known species that come out of the Gippsland Lakes, which are heavily demanded by the local Victorian consumers and into the restaurant sector. You know, we've got one of our probably youngest head chefs who's about to open up a new restaurant, which he's set his whole business model up on produce from the Gippsland region. When I called him up the other day and said, hey, we're not going to be able to start talking about how do we provide you with Gippsland Lakes fish, he almost started crying. You know, it's not something that is just going to affect the fishing industry. It's going to affect the broader supply chain through into the restaurant sector and ultimately the availability of fresh local seafood for Victorian consumers.
Just as a historical point of view, what did you see happening, Keith, in your area once the zones were introduced?
Job losses, mainly through Philippers,
yep.
One of the local wholesalers. I dropped a couple hundred kilo esky into the local wholesaler yesterday. Said I'd be there about 1 o'clock. I got there a little bit late. You know, basically sitting on the forklift waiting to unload the esky. Dropped it on the concrete, took out a layer off the top, put it in a tub, covered it nice, and put it straight out the front shop on the front counter. They're sort of desperate for local fish. They have one part-time fillet of the bag, and he only comes in as you buy. It's had a really big impact on those businesses and other businesses as well. But I might add, I had to do a 320-kilometre round trip to catch those fish. Because I can't catch them locally anymore. So, it's had a big impact, not only as Jonathan mentioned before on wholesalers and Barbara mentioned as well, but they see they're the first line that really feels the pinch, and then it just filters down through the other suppliers that we buy of, like the Icefellows and all those.
Yeah.
Things. So, it's I would love to be able to put a figure on it in the 3 years, because the third year anniversary just went on the 1st of November, a few days ago. So I'd really love to be able to get some economic data on what has it actually cost to the community, but I think I could probably struggle to find somebody that would help me do that, especially locally. So, but yeah, I don't know. It's not only here. Mackay North there feel the same way. Yeah, and I'll agree, the wholesaler that accepts a fish and distributes to the community are a forgotten member of this party when it comes to this, sadly. we mentioned it a lot when we went through this battle. It just fell on deaf ears.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. And I hope you have a lot better luck than we've had with that side of it, because there's many millions of dollars to be lost in the industries where you were involved in, because the setups and your plan, whatever, and everything that's involved in, and your employees. So I'm afraid it doesn't paint a very bright picture. As far as tourism goes in this town, local council have done voting and surveys for the first 2 years, and they fudged the figures a bit by saying that anybody that was more than 50 kilometres away was a tourist. That propped it up a little bit, but I've since had words with the local council, and we didn't part on very friendly terms, so they don't give me much information anymore. But that's the sort of things they do. And just one quick thing was, there was money left over from the net rezoning production from the license buybacks. I could be wrong, but I think it was in the vicinity of maybe $100,000 to $200,000. I believe that was given to the local council to promote the net rezoning.
No, that's correct, Keith. That's exactly what was done.
That should have been given. That money was there for fishermen to be compensated for. That should have been given to them. Whatever was left over should have been used. If they didn't, they sent it off to the council, and they set up promotions, and they've got God knows what videos and all that sort of stuff out. So, mate, I get that way, that I don't even like driving around town with an Esky on the back of my Ute. I try to avoid it if I can. That's how I feel.
Look, Keith, thanks for that, and we need to keep talking about this. And look, I'd like to thank Jonathan, Barbara, and yourself, Keith, for outlining this. This will be some, I think, new information for listeners around what these net closures will mean historically and into the future. So can I thank everyone for coming onto the podcast, and I'm hoping we can do another one of these in the lead up to the election, Jonathan?
Yeah, so we've got the election on the 24th of November, so yeah, more than happy to touch base again late next week, sometime during the week after. No dramas sharing the information and the insight of industry.
Okay, that's great. So can I thank everyone for coming on, and for the listeners, this has been another one of a series of podcasts around what's happening with commercial fishing around the country. More to come, and thanks everyone, and we'll catch you on the next podcast.